Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is Gwen Berry. I'm here with you from Florida. And this evening, we are going to, on the ceremony, we are going to present to you an on-air celebration of Imolc, or what people often call Candlemas. It is a celebration of light. And with me this evening is Ruth Ann Amartafeo and Ariel and Tom from Green Egg. Ariel, I haven't got the last names.
Ariel Montserrat and Tom Donahue.
And there you have it. And just for one little moment, we're going to set the mood with a little bit of music. Just a few minutes.
Here's the order that we're going to speak in.
Called the Song of Bridget, who is considered the goddess and saint in Erie or Ireland. And it's her little festival of lights at Candlemas that we're celebrating tonight. I thought it was important, and I'd love to hear what everyone thinks, that we mention Breed right off. And her importance to the day. Once Bridget's Day comes, then spring is on the horizon. Light is returning to us. And Ra, I'm going to hand it over to you for a minute.
Oh, I just have to tell you guys, because, you know, comedy relief, right? I had just lit the candle, because, you know, this is a fire festival, as... I have them all as fire festivals, but this is one of the ones. And here came my little kitten, and now I smell fur. She flipped her tail, and she's okay. I mean, she doesn't realize. She didn't know why I kept messing with her tail. But anyway, yes, it is a fire festival. I happen to love this festival. And what you were saying about spring and all the newness and everything, this is the time of purification. I think it's a very good time. We're going to set intentions, and I want to say sorry about our people who, we have a sick person who was going to be with us. We will miss her.
Yeah.
But I think we should just, we will just go on. If you would just imagine whether you're going through the motions at home listening, or just imagine in your head, imagine, visualize. We're going to walk, dance, undulate, I love that word, in a clockwise direction. And imagine yourself sweeping out all the gunk, the unneeded baggage that is filling up the circle that we are making here. Let us think about the energy of the intentions that we will set tonight as we draw in the circle. And so I say now, the circle is cast. So mote it be. I call upon air, the element of the East, the element of communication, lightness, the intellect. Join us now as we celebrate this holiday. So mote it be.
I call upon the element of fire. The color would be red. And the tool I'll use is my athame, or my blade, to direct the energy. The time of the day is noon. The season is summer. But tonight, as we celebrate with the Festival of Lights, I call upon fire to bring them up bright and to show us what lays before us to plant for the growing season. Strength, passion, energy, transformation, all of these things I ask the salamanders to bring to us, the elementals of fire. So mote it be.
So mote it be. I call upon water from the west, the blue, gray, green water, and all of those living in it and around it. Water is love, not always the calmness, sometimes very turbulent, but it is one of our life-giving elements. I ask that the element of water, this flowing flexibility, come to us and help us remove any rigidity that may be holding us back in our endeavors. Welcome, water. So mote it be.
So mote it be.
Tua, in the north, imagine the pentacle of earth. And I call upon the gnomes, the elementals of earth, to join us and complete the roundness in this circle. Stability, order, grounding, birth, death, beginnings, endings, and all the fertility. The element of earth, the soil. So mote it be.
So mote it be.
And then there is ether, spirit, which is the center place within us and within all things created in the cosmos. Whether it's black or white, it is the circle and the cauldron. And every deity in every season and all time is fixed within ether, within the spirit of things. It is everything and it is nothing. It is as above, so below. So I call upon the spirit of all and within us to bring the fullness to the circle. So mote it be.
So mote it be. Now our goddess and God.
I'm going to use an invocation by Jean Riegler, R-I-E-G-L-E-R. It's called Hecate, Thou Mother of Might. And I chose this one because Hecate is a goddess, amongst other things, of darkness and of the wisdom that comes with old age. And our planet is very, very old, and Gaia is very, very old. And scientists have recently discovered that we have only about 500,000 more years for this planet to live before the sun gets too hot for us to be able to bear it. And so I thought at this time, with our beautiful Mother Gaia under assault, our planet under assault, that it was a good time to hear from a crone, to Gaia the crone. Hecate, thou mother of might, goddess of magic, of storms, of night. Moon maiden, mother and crone, dispensing justice from thy lofty throne. Watching now with piercing eye, as thy moon palace doth glide the sky, all of life on the planet Earth, selecting, weighing, and measuring its worth. Grant us thy wisdom sublime. Reveal to us the secrets of time. Help us winnow truth from lies. Hearken now, please hear out our cries. Hecate, thou mother of might, goddess of crossroads, bearer of light. Moon maiden, mother and crone, descend unto us from thy lofty throne. Walk amongst us and reveal now the mysteries of thy shining brow, past, present, and future merge. Let us feel thy power surge. Bestow healing upon this planet. Release the songs of thy stones of granite. Help us, strengthen us in our resolve to banish all hate. Let it dissolve. Hecate, thou mother of might, goddess of love, giver of sight, moon maiden, mother and crone, ensconced upon thy lofty throne, acknowledge us who by our own choice have chosen to listen to thy voice. Help us spread wisdom, truth, love and light to save Earth from her desperate plight. We bide the Wiccan reed to fulfill, and ye harm none, do what thou will. Help us grow in serving thee as we will, so mote it be. Hecate, thou mother of might, robed in splendor, beauteous, bright, moon maiden, mother and crone, shine upon us from thy lofty throne.
Okay, my invocation to the Horn God was actually written by Doreen Valiente. By the flame that burneth bright, O Horned One, we call thy name into the night, O Ancient One. Thee we invoke by moon-led sea, by the standing stone and the twisted tree. Thee we invoke where gather thine own, by the nameless shrine, forgotten, alone. Come where the round of the dance is trod, horn and hoof of the goat-foot god. By moonlight meadow on dusky hill, when the haunted wood is hushed and still, come to the charm of the chanted prayer as the moon bewitches the midnight air. Evoke thy power, the potent bide, in shining stream in the secret tide, in fiery flame by starlight pale, in shadowy host that rides the gale. And by the fern brakes, fairy haunted, of forests wild and woods enchanted, come, O come, to the heartbeat's drum. Come to us who gather below when the broad white moon is climbing slow. Through the stars to the heaven's height, we hear thy hoofs on the wind of night. Eldest of gods, on thee we call. Blessing be on thy creatures all.
Well, yes. We thought that tonight we would do for our first, the next part of this ceremony, we're going to go around and talk about Imbolc that we've experienced, the good, the bad, the silly. Gwen, let's start with you.
Somebody is moving their mic around or something, and it keeps, so try to be stationary.
Maybe it was me, sorry.
Okay, good, we got it. I'm happy to. Imbolc is a time of initiation, you've reminded me this week. And the most important initiation I think we ever go through is the one that we ourselves, it's a moment within when we realize that this is who we are, this is the spiritual path that we're going to walk, this is our heart and our mind in a harmony. I think everyone can feel that one. Mm-hmm. For me, and it's funny because it happened in February, funny ironic, as I was beginning my path work, if you will, after opening Daughters down here in Florida years ago, and this is, I think it was 1994, I was an adult, I was a woman, I was, you know, fully, understanding the choice of spirit. And I asked for spirit to enlighten me. And in February, spirit chose to enlighten me. My initiation, they just yanked me out. I had one of those good old-fashioned astral initiations. And for me, it was very frightening at first. This is how spirit will work you sometimes. They yanked me out. You know that place where you're falling asleep and then, oops, I'm not asleep, but you don't know that? And in between time, in between worlds. And I woke up to find myself, I realized myself on this huge cliff, and I had an Indian sitting on me, and I was scared to death. I was just terrorized. I really was. And there were all these people over to the side, gathered around a fire, having some kind of cocktail party, while I was screaming, this is real. This isn't a dream. And it went on and on. And then I was aware that there was this lightning in the sky that was going to hit me. And I got more scared, more terrified. And the Indian looked in my eyes and smiled with such a kindness that it made me puzzled. It confused the heck out of me. And then the light hit the soles of my feet, and I could use a tune-up, please. That's my story of initiation. It was wonderful. It was everything Dionysian. It was everything Hellenistic. It was everything Native American. It was just like what I wanted to find, all the different paths to learning who I am at heart and mind above and below. So that's my gig. That was my initiation story.
Right, I love it. It kicked your ass.
Yeah.
Ariel, what about you?
Well, my oi milk that I remember probably the best happened back in 1999, and I had, right before oi milk, I think it was about a week, I had my first date with Oberon Zell Ravenheart, and I was in the process of making a decision to move in with them and their community, and which I did, and I did that for a year. Needless to say, you know, if you know Oberon, he's really great at opening doors for people, doors into whole new worlds, and that's what happened for me. My entire life changed. Within 2 months, I not only changed jobs, I changed careers, everything in my life changed, and I remember, you know, talking late into the night about all kinds of things, you know, how the universe was formed and all those interesting things that Oberon loves to talk about. And I consider him still to be my mentor, and I became his apprentice, the only apprentice that he's ever had. And so that was really quite an experience for me, and it was life-changing. So that's my story.
Yay.
That's nice.
Yeah. What about Tom?
Okay. Actually, my earliest recollections of oi milk, I had no idea that's what I was celebrating. But it actually goes back to childhood because I'm from Pennsylvania. And there, the 2nd of February was a very big day because it was Groundhog's Day. Now, I know when I say Groundhog's Day, people from outside of the state immediately think of Punxsutawney and the official groundhog and how the mayor makes a big hoopla out of it because Punxsutawney has got nothing else going for it. So, you know, they have this official groundhog with a little door and everything. But that's not how it was done when I was a kid. What one was expected to do, and this was something children did but we learned about from our parents, was you spent the weeks leading up to it locating groundhog holes and finding the place where you would expect him to actually poke his head out and look around. And any groundhog or all groundhogs were equally powerful as weather prophets. And if the groundhog, it used to be said, if the groundhog saw his shadow and it scared him, he'd go back into his hole, and there would be 6 more weeks of winter. Well, I never understood that part, because if he sees his shadow, it's a bright, sunny day. And if he doesn't, you would think then that it would be a miserable, dreary day and that he would want to go back in anyway. The thing with the shadow is where the myth originated was in a much colder clime. It was in certain parts of Germany, and the shadow would be visible on the snow. No matter how bright the sun was, when you have a white background, the shadow is very obvious. But in actual fact, what happened was the groundhog would come out, it would still be winter, and he'd just kind of turn around and go back in his hole. This meant 6 more weeks of winter. Well, guess what? Spring starts exactly 6 weeks after February 2nd. And I think sometimes that what was being celebrated was the actual middle of the winter, that this is as far as it goes. From here on, it's all downhill. The days are getting longer. The days are getting warmer. But this marked the turning of the season, which is exactly what is being celebrated when we celebrate oil milk.
That's one.
That's probably the earliest that I know. I remember when I used to say, pronounce it Imbolc, because because it's spelled I-M-B-O-L-C. And then I tried to learn Irish Gaelic and found out that's pronounced oil milk. Because, well, Irish Gaelic has very weird things, like if a B appears, the letter on either side of it becomes an aspirate, but if an M follows an I, then it's pronounced oi instead of I, and weird things like that. Irish Gaelic is, like, well nigh impossible. I'm glad a lot more pagan terms come from the Welsh. But anyway, Groundhog's Day has been celebrated in Pennsylvania. Well, for centuries, it was sometime in the 18th century is the first record of it, Berks County, right where I lived. And there's really not been much success in trying to specifically trace it back to Europe. They do something similar in Germany with badgers, but badgers aren't related to groundhogs. Groundhogs are actually chubby marmots, and badgers are the largest of the mustelids. They're relatives of skunks and weasels. Well, anyway, that's my earliest Groundhog Day story. Pardon me, my earliest oil milk stories. Yeah, the time of the quickening of the seed. You know, we don't see any green sprouting above the earth right now, but the seeds have actually put out their first little shoots deep in the darkness under the ground, and in a few more weeks we'll start to see them. Anyway, I'm passing this back to Ariel.
That was great.
Well, yeah, we don't have anything blooming here, but I hear that a lot of places, snowdrops, those tiny little flowers,
mm-hmm.
those little white flowers, that in a lot of places right around this time, they bloom.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that would be enough.
And narcissus, too. My narcissus are coming up, and the snowdrops, there's snowdrops around here. I live in Tennessee, so we do have a change of seasons. They're beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's like, as soon as you see that first snowdrop, you just get so excited. And, you know, same thing with when my narcissus start coming up.
Sure. Yeah. My mother used to raise, they had hyacinths. That they would just come up every year. And that was a little late, but it was a February kind of thing. But I have two favorite stories. One was my own initiation. The group I was, my first initiation, the group I worked with, it was pretty traditional. So my partner at the time and I had our dedications the summer before. And so then it was time. We weren't doing the year in a day. We were, we were initiated at this time of year. And it was very moving. We were with people that we loved. And it was just, for me, like Gwen talked about, her butt just being kicked at that point, and that initiation comes on a personal level at a certain time. And it seemed like, I think we all go through a lot of initiations in life. And one of mine was the first time I walked into a church basement in Chicago for a new moon ritual in March of, it could have even been February, it was the new moon in 1987, because I know the next ritual, the next new moon in spring, so I guess the first one was in February too. I knew immediately it was that whole homecoming thing. And from there on, the next one, the spring ritual, I was in it. There was no turning back. I didn't want to. It was just like, well, of course. You know, I had waited my life to find this. And but one of the funniest, and I mean, it was very serious all too, my dear brother Casey, his first degree initiation. We did it at a campsite, and everybody came out for the night. And his partner had just actually been together a pretty short time, a couple months. So he had no clue what we were doing. And we put the people who weren't involved in it in the kitchen, in the lodge. And I remember going back there and grabbing a butcher knife and saying, you know, I hope that Casey didn't bleed much. And then I went dashing out. And so the whole time, his partner was back there wondering what we were doing to him. And, you know, that was just to be nasty to him. But we had my partner's kids were with us for the early part of the initiation. And I don't want to go into too much detail because some people, you know, don't want to hear about the initiation until it's their turn. But we did have him outside, you know, disorienting him. And it was very cold, and he was barefoot, and frozen ground, and the kids would just strike up some horrible sounding, like a drum, or they had a couple other noisemakers, just when he didn't expect it to mess his brain up. So we had a very good initiation for him, but I think he would tell you, I mean, he makes fond reference to it, so it didn't, and his partner noticed then, you know, like he wasn't bloody and all this. So everything worked out because you've got to have a little fun along the way, right? I love this time, and I love dedications for people. I think sometimes that's when, you know, you're saying to, well, friends and family can't necessarily come to your initiation unless they've been initiated, but your friends and family can come to your dedication. And I think it's important because that's when you are telling them and the universe about the course your spiritual path is going to go on, or that you're going to go on. So for some people, I think the dedication may be more important than the initiation. But that's all. So we have some different experiences of what it's all about. But now I think it would be really pretty cool to talk about this particular one and what we did or are doing maybe this week or this coming weekend. To set, you know, what kind of intentions we're going to have and set. So, Gwen, you were going to talk to us about beginnings and seeding and things, and then what you're doing.
Well, I'm doing my own little personal spell to broaden my sphere of influence business-wise, and also to give myself help to bring more inspiration in order to reach out more publicly as the teacher's side. And I'm using green scents, and I'm making myself a little bundle here of seeds. I'm using some wonderful orange seeds, or orange pips as they call them, And so that they might be used later. I'm not anointing them or anything. I'm just including them. And then I'm putting some stones. I've taken some green adventuring and some dioptase. And I've used Green Man oil, my own blend there. And put it on the green stones, and then to give it the energy to grow, I have this wonderful octahedral garnet crystal, and onto that I put some Nature Mother, or Mother Nature, but I call it Nature Mother oil, and I'm wrapping it all in a bundle, and I'm placing it on my altar with a candle and intention for bringing up, like seeds sprouting, bringing up and reaching out and growth for all of the things that I require to have a successful and happy and heartfelt year.
I love that. And may I say that your products are top of the line.
Well, thank you.
You really are.
Thank you. Sincerely, thank you. And I would also, this is what I would suggest to anyone who's interested in creating a resonant energy to send out and doing their own little emol. You know, ever since listening to Tom, now I've got a Gaelic thing in my ear. And I'm Irish.
Oh, there you go.
Welcome to the club. We are too.
you listen to it over there, and it's like, what'd you say? Yeah, say it again. Okay. Mm-hmm. I would suggest anybody that wants to put something together to remember to use green scents to encourage green growth. That would be anything herby. My favorite this week has been wormwood essential oil. It's something in wormwood is waking something inside up, and so I would suggest that. Also, we have a wonderful blend of Dittany of Crete, and it's a very green blend, but it's also very penetrating, and it helps you to evoke within the vision, to really clearly see what you want to put out there for the year and in this season and in this in-between time when things are, you are able to, you know, maneuver the resonance of things to come for the year. We're halfway between winter solstice and spring equinox. We're at the perfect time for all of this. So planting the dream, this is the perfect time. Those are my intentions this year. Mm-hmm. Get it out there. Get it going.
Yeah.
Ride the bike back.
Yeah. Ariel, what about your intentions? What's new in your world?
I am going to be doing something that I've done every year for a number of years now. And I just kind of, it came to me one day that this was something I should do to celebrate my milk. And that is, I love to garden, and I love to plant things. And so we've lived here 9 years, and over that time I've planted a lot of fruit trees, rose bushes, berry bushes, things like that. And you're supposed to prune them at the end of January, early February, so that they can't, if you prune them then, the branches seal up before the warm weather starts and the insects start up. So you're protecting them when you do that. When you do it at that time of year. And so what I do is I go around to all of my little plants that I've planted and nurtured over the years, and I give them a wake-up call, and I give them nutrients, and it differs what the solution is from year to year, but like I've used Miracle-Gro, and that to help the little shoots that are coming out that I can't see yet, and it helps to wake the plant up, and they come out of hibernation, and then they can start doing their thing. And I call it breakfast in bed. And I come and I greet each plant, and I talk to it, and I check it out, see how it's been doing over the winter, because I'm not outside nearly as much as I am during good weather. It's very cold here. In fact, with this cold spell, it got down to 3 degrees below zero, and that's not a good time to be outside. And so anyway, that's what I do with each of my little plants. This year, we're also going to be doing, we're doing it a bit late, but we're also going to be doing a vision quest, Tom and myself, because we are planning on moving to Pennsylvania this year, so we can be near his family and some of his friends he's had for 40 years or so. And so we have a little grove, and it's called, we call it Aphrodite's Grove, and we go down there, and it's got roses and wild blackberries and trees and all kinds of things like that. It's really pretty. And so we'll probably go down there and do our vision quest, and we're going to envision what is it that we want in our new, in our new home. What kind of land do we want? We're going to build our own home, so we're going to envision what we want for that and make a list, and it will be a big magical act of asking the universe, asking the goddess to help us in our quest for a new happy life, and filled with laughter and friends and family. And so that's what I'm going to be doing. And I'll probably in the next few days go out and do my wake-up call for all of my plant friends. So that's what I do.
Oh, I like that. I envy you being able to get out in it. What about Tom?
Well, I'm going to be down there with her. I know that the part that I haven't done is the pre-work before we actually do the visioning, trying to figure out everything that I want, because there's so much here that's hard to let go of, and yet I know it's time to move on. So, and in fact, you know, Pennsylvania is calling me ever since my 65th birthday party back there, where I reconnected with a number of old friends. I realized how very important they are to me. Some of them aren't even pagan, but they're like, you know, deep connections that go back 40 years or more. So, it's ultimately, I think, more important than the physical house that we've got here now. What friends we've made in the past 9 years have not been local. I mean, you know, yeah, there's certainly you, but you're not from Tennessee. You're in a, you're way up there in the Windy City.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it's been. We've met people at some of the pagan festivals we've gone to, but locally it's been a bust. I mean, it's like, you know, there have been a few false starts. But, you know, nothing that really developed much. That's about all that I'm aware of that we're going to be doing. I realize it's past the peak. I mean, it's really past the day itself of my mouth, but it's still the season. You know, you got to be loose about these things.
Right.
And it's definitely a time for planting seeds, for preparing for the coming of spring.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of days here or there, I consider that just like the moons, you know, for a new or full moon, you don't have to do it the exact day. You have that energy right before, right after. So
yeah,
that's how we felt about doing this a couple of days later. It's like we've still got the energy going on.
Yeah, I know an awful lot of the major Sabbaths. This is when I was in California. We schedule for the weekend that was closest to the actual holiday because, well, you know, you don't get pagan holidays off. Well, in San Francisco, I don't think it'll be too long until it's possible because so many people of so many different religions getting their own holidays off already. But, yeah, for the most part, the weekends are the only time you have the opportunity to do it. So, yeah, I've always been pretty loose about that.
Yeah, me too, always. Now, I know I would hear them talk. My first-degree initiator, Phaedra Bonowitz, wasn't Bonowitz at the time. Her initiator, who also was, you know, with us for hours, she, when she was a college student in Indiana, she would manage to take off a few days every, you know, 6 weeks, and go to Chicago And so they celebrated for maybe 3 or 4 days each holiday. And when I would hear about that, I thought how wonderful that must have been, you know?
Yeah.
Because we just don't. Yeah, I would always schedule things the closest weekend. That's it. But, well, setting intentions. Now, you guys have all been doing things with your hands and outdoors and all. And I really, my outdoors, well, isn't really going to start except the composting, which goes on all the time. But this coming year, Starwood will be a big thing. I always set the intent in the dark of the year for Starwood because it, just thinking about it, lightens things for me. But I have to tell you, I have been so blessed recently. Something has just happened. Like, okay, I wanted to do more with the radio shows and get more people involved in alternative media.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, you know, I am sure no expert in radio, as you all and our listeners know, but I have been blessed with the opportunity to help some young men get into, some young men who have a lot to say politically and things, and they are going to, one actually debuted on one of my shows last night. He's going to be on for an interview later. And then another one is going to be starting a show, and another one did just start on my station a couple weeks ago. I mean, and I feel so good about this because I feel like I'm indeed planting seeds or helping seeds grow.
Yeah.
Because they've already, I mean, the seeds have been planted, but I'm going to help them grow along the way. Mm-hmm. And that just gives me a lot of happiness. And you know, like we don't do things for our own reward, but it's nice when it happens just because you feel good about doing something good. So I just see them as plants that are I might be able to help nourish a bit along their way. So I just feel blessed.
I'm delighted to hear this. I really am. I mean, I was beginning to worry that there were not any young people coming along to take up the torch, as it were. And so I'm really glad to hear that's happening because I notice it happening in a lot of places. It's like the pioneers of modern paganism are now all into our senescence, you know. The women are in cronehood. We don't have anything for the men, you know. I guess geezer, right. We could have geezering rituals.
I think that is sage is the word.
Sage. I like that.
Yeah, a group I used to be in, we had that. We had a ceremony for the men because there was nothing like that for the men, and so we thought this is wrong. So saging or sagehood or whatever for the men. That's the word. So
yeah.
So I throw it there.
You know, it really is a time when new elders are being seasoned right now. Is that a nice way to say?
Yes.
All right. New elders are being seasoned, and our most wizened, our eldest elders are beginning to cross, and even elders who are not that old are crossing. We've lost people in our community in the last 5 or 6 years that, you know, it's just been sort of stunning if you look around. And yet people are new faces and old voices and new voices are emerging in the pagan community and many spiritual communities that are earth-aligned and earth-born, if you will, so that folks are embracing the healing of this planet. That's one of the reasons that we started this ceremony every month, was to bring in some healing for the Earth Mother. And I think that the elders that are stepping up to the podium, as it were, right now, or taking the baton or you know, there's any one of the metaphors I could use, but you know, you follow where I'm going. These people are anchoring themselves in the center place to just bring and hold the resonance for all of the new energy, all of the, and to attract younger voices and vital voices, and to bring out also honest media, which is important because now we have our global consciousness and we're using it right now. It is manifest with this net.
Yes.
And using it responsibly and wisely, we're going to bring more people in to look and see and to understand other, you know, well, our traditions and the traditions that are now so available to us by reaching out on this net and then reaching out beyond it.
Right, because we're starting to see that you can't just, like, do spirituality over here and do something else over there. It's all interconnected.
It is.
And so it's
all part of the same big piece. It's like there is no time that it's not part of the spiritual process.
Right. And even people who don't consider them spiritual, it's so funny because, like, Gwen and I have, we both come to the conclusion that some of the most spiritual people we know are atheists.
Me too. Me too.
So, exactly.
And in fact,
amazing. I mean, I should be used to
it
by now.
It doesn't surprise me. Before I was pagan, I basically considered myself atheist. I mean, I'd been raised Catholic, but I rejected that when I was about 8 years old. You know, as George Carlin said, well, yeah, hey, I used to be Catholic right up until I attained the age of reason. And it was about the same for me. But, you know, as a scientist, I was mostly atheistic because every religion that I ever encountered had all of these bizarre belief structures that were all based on some kind of special revelation. And I knew that my heart was very much more connected with the old deities. But it wasn't until I became part of the Church of All Worlds that I realized I had finally found a religion that was based in reality. You know, like the ancient ideas of the world and all of their spirituality was based on their direct experience of nature. And I was goddess intoxicated for a year. I mean, I was just like in la-la land, and I guess sometimes I still am.
Okay.
You know, you were mentioning, or we were talking about people of different ages coming together. I recently got an email from a young woman who just became the May Queen of CAW this past Beltane, and she is deliberately getting in touch with all the May royalty of the previous quarter of a century. And she's working on some kind of paper for her PhD in religious studies at Holy Hill, the Graduate Theological Union in Berkeley. But I think that's wonderful that she's doing the reaching out and is really looking to create some kind of continuity here over, 30 years out now of CAW doing May royalty.
Oh, I think that's wonderful. I'd love to read what she ends up with. That's
beautiful.
That is. Right, because everything, you know, we say as pagans, we create as we go, and we do, but we still honor the past. And that's what she's doing. Oh, I love it. See, that's it. Some people just say, oh, this younger generation. And then we look back, we say, well, that's what they said about us. And we didn't turn out so bad. So, you know, I see there's a lot of younger people who are just there, willing, ready, and they may just need a little bit of encouragement. So, We can't do that.
I think we're watching the emergence, and I mean, a lot of my anthropologist buddies are giving me heck of this one, but I think we're watching the emergence of a global culture that is based in a more spiritual anchor, because it's lost. What humanity is searching for is its own humanity right now. The masses are humanity-based.
Uh-huh.
But leadership is not. And in order to get to that 1% that shifts the paradigm, but it's happening. And it's happening right before us. And you know how things happen right in front of you and you don't see it until it starts to glow?
Yes.
I really think that, and I'm someone who doesn't use the word believe too often, because I think believe is a word that describes the process of thought while you're coming to know something. And So I'm thinking that we're getting there, and that this global culture, which is the harvest of our global consciousness, our planetary consciousness. And, and you know, when you speak of Ka, you're speaking of one of the places where this began, along with all the rest of the Californians, you know,
at that time,
and pierced that veil and brought it down. And I think we're going through that again right now. And it's one of the reasons that this alternative media that we're making use of is so vital right now.
Yeah.
And that's a wonderful seed.
Yeah, I agree. Before we close, we should probably give contact information.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to hand the phone back to Ariel now.
Ah, okay. Hi, Ariel?
Yes.
Yeah, we were wanting contact information before we say our goodbyes.
Okay. My email?
I know the Greening has a website, but it has some issues right now, and probably within a couple of months that should be all taken care of.
Hopefully within about 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
But you can contact me. I'm the editor and publisher of Green Egg, and Tom does the layout and writes science articles. And you can contact us at Green Egg Zine, ZINE, and that's all one word, GREENEGGZINE, @gmail.com. And I love to hear from people. And if you've got articles to submit, send them in.
Yeah. This is like the oldest, or at least one of the oldest. There's been a couple times when Green Egg was on sabbatical, but it's back. And it's back.
It was founded in 1968. It's the first pagan journal, and certainly the first one still being published, and I've been doing the editor job for 7 years exactly, and we're about to put out a new issue. We should have one in about a week, the Waymail Cash issue, and we're also back in print. So you go to our website, and it will tell you what you need to do to get a copy of Green Egg.
Right. Okay.
That's good to hear.
Yes. And Ariel's also working on getting all the old issues online. That's some doing. But,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a project. Wow.
Yeah. That's going to be a project. We hope to have that up. Well, that'll be up on the new website. Hopefully we'll get that up in about 2 months, too. So we'll have, eventually we'll have every issue that Green Egg ever put out, going back to 1968, so that's a lot of issues. That's a lot.
That's a history. Wow.
Job.
Yeah. It's interesting. I look back at some of the old issues, and when Oberon was running it, and it's just unbelievable the talent that he was able to put together and write some of the most amazing articles. They really are just fabulous. Really wonderful. I really have a lot of respect for the people who did Green Egg before I showed up.
Yeah. But I have a lot of respect for you because you've had to go through a lot of different things.
Oh, geez,
and you stuck with it. So, kudos to you.
It had never been It had never been online before. We took over in 2007. At the end of January, we started setting things up, and it had never been online, so this was a whole new thing for us. And it's been exciting. It's been adventurous. It's been wondrous. And just Green Egg has a lot of magic, and its magic is still here. Every once in a while, something will happen that lets me know, oh, yeah, the magic is still here. And sometimes I think it's growing stronger. So, yeah. It's a good magazine. It was started with a wonderful idea, which is cutting edge ideas. Let's create a new paradigm here. The old one's not working too well, so that's what we're trying to do.
And you are. That's Gwen. I realize people know that. Well, they're on your station right now. So, but tell us again how to find you and Daughters.
The Fragrant Memories of Our Ancestors with Essential Oil Blends, Indigenous Ones, and Flower Essence Companions at daughtersofisis.com. Easy peasy, daughtersofisis.com. And if you'll mention in your order that you've heard about us online on the radio show, I'll stick a little something special extra in there for you because I appreciate folks who are listening in. And
I just realized that we bought some Dittany of Crete from you a little while back. Yeah. my husband ordered it. Tom ordered it. Yeah. You were the only people that had it. We couldn't find it anywhere else.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
You make
sense. Yeah. It's very nice, very high quality.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Definitely.
I also want to do a little shout out to the founder of Green Egg and his lady, who can mm-hmm. use our light and prayers right now.
Yes.
For recovery. And best to Oz and Morning Glory and Ruth Ann.
Yeah.
Your turn.
Okay. Yes, you can find me just on my Facebook wall. My last name is AmarTeiFio, or just go to blogtalkradio.com/AmarTeiFio. And we will make the announcement that somebody else on the show tonight is going to restart her show.
Yes, that would be me. We did the Green Egg Radio Hour. I was doing a show with Oberon for about a year, and then we did the Green Egg Radio Hour for 6 months. And then I had health issues, long-term, lots of them, and needed to take time off to get well, and I'm doing much better now. And we'll be back on in a couple of weeks. We haven't set exactly a date yet, but for the Green Egg website, it's greeneggzine.com, greeneggzine.com, and watch that space, also our Facebook page, and we'll have information about that up there in a couple days probably.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wonderful.
So,
we're at the bottom of the hour, guys. They're going to cut us off. So.
They're
going to kick us out.
let me just say thank you to the Lord, the Lady, all of our wonderful quarters, Spirit, our ancestors who were with us tonight.
Yes.
And ask them to go in peace
mm-hmm.
and show us how to do the same.
Yes.
So good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Ariel.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Ra.
Oh, I love you guys. You know, you're my family, and you're up so far away, but so near. So.
Yeah. We're always with you.
Yes.
We're never very far.
Right.
Love you, too. Love you, too.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Blessed be.
Blessed be.